Depending upon the help of the Lord, dear friends, I invite your prayerful attention to Acts chapter 3 and words which we find in verse 6. I'll read the whole of the sixth verse of chapter 3 of Acts. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." The particular words are the last sentence. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. We've been considering at home just since Easter morning those things which the Lord in his great mercy has left on record for his living church. Those great encouragements which he has shown to his disciples then, and I believe have a message for disciples now, that is, followers now. And I felt perhaps this morning that I'd like just to remind you of a few key factors which the dear Lord has shown since his resurrection. And one particular thing has struck me very forcibly in studying and reading those portions of the Word is this, that we find the dear Lord Jesus revealed himself after his resurrection not to the world, but to his disciples, to his loved ones, those for whom he cared. And dear friends, it's exactly the same today. And that's why the world cannot understand why there's some people gathered together to worship a God that they cannot see. And that is exactly the reason, because they cannot see with the natural eye, they cannot believe. Because they have not the gift of the Holy Spirit, they have not that work of the Holy Spirit in enlightening their souls. We find that the Lord Jesus appeared to Mary at the tomb, and I find that word so sweet that he just said her name, Mary. He knew her name and she knew his voice, and her tears were turned to joy. The disciples on the Emmaus Road, their hearts burned within them as he appeared to them and spoke to them regarding those things concerning himself, beginning at Moses, throughout the prophets and the Psalms. He revealed himself to those who were his own people. We find then another lesson, I believe, where we read that Peter and the disciples said, "I go a fishing." And they needed natural supplies. Those things had become very puzzling to Peter and the other disciples. And Peter quite rightly said, "I go fishing." He went fishing because it was an honourable thing to do, to supply the need of the bodies, of their need for food. He went fishing. And the other said, "I go with thee." And they went with him. And they toiled all night and caught nothing. And then you see in the early light of the morning, there we assume just about to cease the night's fishing and perhaps have gathered the nets into the boat. And then there's one standing on the seashore. They didn't recognize him for a start. And he called to them across the wave, didn't he? And he asked them whether they had any fishes. Had they caught anything? Nothing, they said. And he said, "Cast the net on the right side." And they cast the net on the right side and drew in 153 fishes, a great catch. And John realizes it is the Lord. That revelation, you see, by that which he'd witnessed. It was the Lord. John points out to Peter. Peter soon makes fast speed to come to land. The others come a little slower in a little boat. to be near the Lord. We see there that the Lord has prepared for them already a coal of fire and bread and fishes thereon. Now, the lesson I want to bring out of that particular point is this, dear friends, that the Lord Jesus in his ascended state still cares for the providential needs of his people, for their preservation. And some of you can look back over life, I know, and see that the good hand of God has brought you thus far, and it is by his favour you are what you are. You've been provided for in every way, preserved and kept in the pathway of life. And so though the Lord Jesus has ascended now into heaven, he still cares for his people. He hasn't neglected that care to his loved ones. He still loves his people. He still cares for them. Oh, dear friends, and how miraculously he does it at times in ways which we think not. And I don't wish at this point to go into those things this morning. But when we think of those things which the Lord has shown us since his resurrection. And then you see, he led them out as far as to Bethany. We read in Luke 24. He led them out. He went before them. He led them out as far as to Bethany. No, he didn't ascend to glory from Jerusalem, did he? The place that killeth the prophets. He went out of Jerusalem to Bethany. What was Bethany? Bethany was a very special place to the Lord, wasn't it? It was where Mary and Martha and Lazarus had entertained him. It had been the nearest he ever had to a natural home on this earth, for he had not where to lay his head. But you see, that was that place where he had been. He had blessed that family, and he called Lazarus from the tomb, and they'd made that supper for him. He led him out as far as to Bethany. And then what did he do? He lifted up his hands. I love that scene, dear friends. The Lord of glory, he's just returning to his Father. He's just about to receive the full answer to the prayer in John 17 and verse 5 that he might return to that glory which he had with the Father before he left it to come to this earth. And yet, what is his posture? He's looking on the dear disciples as he's taken up into heaven. He's looking on the disciples and he's lifted up his hands to bless them. And he's departed from this earth blessing his church, dear friends. And I believe he still blesses his church to this day, and he will until he comes again in like manner as we read in that first part of the Acts of the Apostles. And this same Jesus will come again in like manner. Yes, dear friends, the gift of the Holy Spirit was promised to those disciples in the upper room, wasn't it? The Lord Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. Well, what comfort there is in that, my dear friend? We are not to die without hope and comfort. Sometimes we cannot see our signs, and sometimes we grovel in the dark, and sometimes we wish we could see our signs much clearer. And why is it? Well, it's our sinful heart that brings us there. But oh, dear friends, my old pastor used to say this couplet, when prayer is a burden and task, no wonder I little receive. O Lord, make me willing to ask, since thou art so ready to give. And so it is that we're slow in prayer, if one might speak for others. And so we are denied the blessing and the sweetness of it oft times, because other things, little g gods, come in the way, come between us and God. But the thing I was coming to was this: the Lord Jesus said to his dear disciples, I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth. And that fulfilled that which we read this morning of the prophet in that promise. And so as we come to this particular portion that we desire to look at for a little this morning, we found that we read that the Holy Spirit was given, and there was that miracle, and it was a miracle, and it was no less a miracle than the raising of Lazarus from the dead, that the disciples were given the gift of languages without studying in university, to put it in today's language. They were given the gift of speaking, so that all those, and that list which we have, the Medes and so on, the Parthians and so on, that long list, all gathered, devout men we read. Interesting that, isn't it? Devout, we believe that they were the dispersed of the Jews who came to Jerusalem, the devout men from those areas. And so this, which was done in the giving of the Holy Spirit, was given at a time of great bringing together of many representatives from many nations, and therefore the witness went out and the gospel was preached in those places and soon spread. And you see, it was under the blessing of the Holy Spirit that the infant church was formed in this way, God's own appointed way, by the Holy Spirit. And so the gift of the Holy Spirit is given to the church. In these last days, it doesn't mean necessarily the last days, although it does as time has gone on, it must be the last day, but it refers to the day of grace as opposed to the Old Testament dispensation, where we read that in these last days the Lord Jesus Christ has come, you see. And so we find in all these things that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, has blessed the disciples at Pentecost and blessed the work, and 3,000 souls have been called by grace, approximately, we read, didn't we, in that portion. Called by grace. They were changed round. They were reversed from going away from God, brought to come toward God. They had a new heart given them and a new spirit put within them. Have you had a new heart, dear friends? A new spirit put within you? Do you have a desire now that you didn't once have to seek the Lord, to seek God, to seek the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you come into the earthly courts with that aching void which this world cannot fill? You can't find satisfaction in the passing temporary pleasures of this life. But you find something secret that sweetens all as you come with your troubles and your sad heart from time to time into the house of God. Well, that brings me, I believe, to this point. Now Peter and John went up to get together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And for the children, that is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was an appointed time of prayer for the Jews at Jerusalem. And so they went up. And so we see how from the initiation of the infant church, right from the very beginning, it was right that the disciples went to worship at the temple at the hour of prayer, because that was the appointed means. And so it's been a time of meeting together for prayer. As time went on and circumstances changed and the temple eventually, of course, was destroyed, then the meetings were Christian churches scattered throughout Pontus and so on, Galatia, Cappadocia and so on. So that we saw then the formation of the smaller church units in the gospel day, and of which we humbly hope we descend from that scriptural beginning of the apostolic church. Now they went up at the hour of worship, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. A man who never walked, a man who had never known what it was to do the same as all his contemporaries and walk and run and be able to be mobile in his own strength. Lame man. What did they do with him, friends? Well, they did the right thing with him. They daily laid at the gate of the temple, the gate which they called Beautiful. They brought him, his friends brought him. Friends, there is a point I wish to bring here. Can you remember that another occasion we read that there was one who was very sick, unable to do for himself, and he was born of four, and they went up on the rooftop, not gaining access for the crowd, to let him down before the dear Lord Jesus. They took the roof apart and lowered him down with ropes before the Lord, and he said, "What faith," and healed him there. I believe, dear friends, that if we have one in our midst who is causing great concern, whether it be for natural health, whether it be for spiritual concerns, it's right that we bear them before the Lord in prayer. Born of four. I believe often when there's a collective seeking for the good of the souls of the Lord's dear people, and sometimes particularly when one is laid upon the mind and there's that coming together in the unity of spirit in prayer, you find the prayer is answered in the Lord's appointed time and way. And again, I'll come back to what I said earlier. I will be inquired of, O house of Israel, for you to do these things. You see, prayer is a vital part of the Christian's life. And so it was that Peter and John would go up at the hour of prayer to pray. Prayer is that appointed way of communion with God in the gospel day. In the day of grace, that's an appointed way of access. Dear friends, have you at times been able to come up and you may have been very heavily bowed down, but you found some sweet access in prayer? You couldn't go away and say, "I've had a great blessing." You couldn't say that it's been a special day, a red letter day in your soul's experience, but you've gone away from the house of prayer and you felt strangely strengthened. And you felt able to go on in the pathway of life. Perhaps you entered in physically tired and weary and jaded. And at the end of the Lord's day, you feel refreshed. And you see the difference when you go to work the next morning and the others are dragging about having a job with this Monday morning feeling that they have. And you feel fresh and renewed and they don't. And you see, even in the physical side of it, the Lord blesses his people there. But oh, what a better blessing when we know something of the soul's rest in Christ Jesus in that prayer. He went up to the house of prayer. Yes, carried there. Oh, dear friends, let us bring and bear in prayer those who are near and dear, those who are in the church, those who are weak in the way, those who perhaps seem to be running in the opposite way, which give us great concern, and I suspect we all have some of our acquaintances which concern us in these things. Don't give up praying, dear friends. Pray on, press on, for it is the appointed way. Whom they laid daily at the temple, it was not something he only did occasionally. He'd found there that those who went in and out of the temple at least were those who had some compassion on his affliction, and he'd found it good to be there, and had obviously been sustained these many years. We read in chapter 4 he was over 40 years old, and so you see these many years he had approved the providing hand of God at the beautiful gate of the temple. You know, I believe quite often in the dear young people they find they have a need. It might be to pass examinations, it may be a health problem, it could be other things which are great concern to them, and they pray. And it's the first time they really pray. And they ask the Lord to help them in this or that matter. And they find the Lord does help them in that matter. And then that encourages them to hope that he might have mercy on their soul, because he's heard prayer for their body. And help them in providence and preserve them in some danger. And so they hope and they go tentatively forward in prayer. And I believe that's the way the Lord deals with his people sometimes, especially with the dear young people. And their faith is gradually built because they try prayer and they find that he is a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. And they're gradually brought to that point where they can say with the hymn writer in coming years that Christ is God, I can avouch, and for his people cares, for I have prayed to him as such, and he has heard my prayers. What a witness, dear friends. What a great thing to be thankful for. Answer prayer. Do you know anything about it? You answer before God. If you've had your prayer answered, my dear friend, you have much to rejoice in, and much to take courage in, and much reason to pray on and press on. Yes. And so, they come and they brought him to the gate, beautiful. And then who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. He sought of Peter and John. One can't help wondering whether he remembered seeing them with the Lord Jesus Christ on previous occasions when the Lord himself performed miracles in and around the temple. Whether he thought, these men, I believe, are disciples. We're not told that, but he was there at the gate of the temple and he saw Peter and John. And Peter and John are found together again. You remember that when the ladies brought the news, the women brought the news to the disciples, it was Peter and John that ran to the sepulchre, wasn't it? Here they are again, together, going up to the temple. There seems to be a great unity of spirit between Peter and John, doesn't there, in these things as we read the record. There is between those who love and fear the Lord, you know. Where we can walk with those who love and fear the Lord, and we have that same hope and that same faith, there is love one to another, isn't there, in these things. Not perfect here below, no, because we're all in the flesh. But who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. He gave him a commandment, you see. Look on us. You know, if we will receive a blessing, if we desire to seek a blessing, we must look with the eyes of faith to Christ Jesus, to this same name, because you see what occurred was this. And he gave heed. Now, if he'd have looked the other way, he wouldn't have received the blessing. But because he was obedient to Peter's command, and he gave heed to them and looked upon them, then they looked upon him and he looked upon them, and there was a blessing received. A greater blessing than ever he'd expected. Now, my dear friends, so it is with poor sinners. The Lord Jesus invites them to look to him. And if they don't look, they don't receive the blessing. But then those who are brought by the Spirit to look upon Jesus by living faith. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's the thought in my mind. A look by faith. He looked to them, expecting clearly, perhaps, a silver coin. A gold coin, maybe. To help him in his natural needs. But Peter and John had no silver and gold. No. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. That was not his purpose, was it? But, another gospel, but such as I have, give I thee. That which he had was more precious than gold and silver, dear friends. The knowledge of Christ is more precious than gold, isn't it? Yes. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In that name, that precious name, that name which was the name by which this miracle was performed. Peter, further down, speaks to them as to why they were amazed, as if they had done that in their own strength, John and Peter. He says, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, that this power was given and this healing was given, putting it in my language. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Is your poor soul this morning lame? Do you feel too weak to walk in the ways of grace? Do you feel lame before God in that inability to do that which you know you should do? The good I would I do not, the apostle said, and the evil I would not, that alas I do. What can we do? The disciples, Jews cried to the disciples when Peter had preached them the truth that they by wicked hands had crucified the Lord. What shall we do? The work of the Holy Spirit had convicted them of their sin. Friends, there's a some here this morning convicted of sin. You know you're a sinner. You know you have a need. You seem unable to walk in the pathway of righteousness of yourself. You need strengthening, dear friends. And the only way you'll be strengthened is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There is that one way of strength, in faith. Oh, I like the hymn. It's not in our book. It's one we used to sing from the Stevens book years ago. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Saviour divine. It's a lovely verse. My faith, yes, the gift of God, that faith which is given of God, where does it direct our eyes of faith? My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Saviour divine. That is the way and the place to look, my dear friends. Here we have a clear command. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. It was a command given. I wonder whether Peter was thinking back to that word which the Lord commanded Lazarus while he was still upon the earth. Lazarus, come forth. It was a firm command. It was not anything doubtful, I mean by that. No, it was a firm command. And this command was a firm command given by Peter, but not in Peter's name. When the Lord, being the resurrection and the life, commanded Lazarus to come forth, he commanded him to come forth in his own name, because he was the resurrection, is the resurrection, eternally the resurrection and the life. You see, so he came forth, bound hand and foot in grave clothes. And then he gave that second command, loose him and let him go. I never thought of that this morning, but look, friends, is there some here that have been brought forth from nature's death and darkness, but you still feel bound hand and foot? You still have not been released into that full joy and assurance of faith? Do you seek it? Is it your desire? Pray that the Lord will give you that command which he gave to Lazarus. Loose him, loose her, and let him go. But this case, Peter is speaking not in his own name. And that brings me to this point. We can only pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are fallen sinners, each one of us. We dare not come to God and seek mercy in our name, because we're sinners and we cannot appear before a holy God. But when we come in the name of Jesus, that name is a perfect name before the Father. It's the name the Father loves to hear his children plead. And all such pleading in Jesus' name, he approves and blesses them indeed. This precious name then, Jesus of Nazareth. And in that name he commands him to rise up and walk. Now, what did he do? Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Friends, if you know what it is to have the blessing of the Lord's presence in your soul, you will find that strength spiritually. And what will it do? Well, it will make you willing and strong to run the race which Jesus has set before you. And I often think, I wish I could remember it myself more, that Jesus has set the race before us each. Each one of you here have a different set of responsibilities in life. Mothers, fathers, businessmen, farm, field, industry, you all have a different need in the application of it. But there's still that one source of wisdom, grace, pardon and forgiveness for your soul. In Christ Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Oh, dear friends, I hope that command comes to you, that you might, by living faith, being able to rise up and walk in faith, looking unto Jesus. That's the only place you'll gain your strength, friends. It's not in ourselves. No, it's in Christ Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now, what was the next thing that occurred? He, leaping, stood up. Just think a minute. There's a man who all his life had to be carried. Suddenly he can stand and he can leap. There's no doubt about this miracle, is there? It's a miracle indeed that's been wrought here by Jesus Christ of Nazareth in his name, administered by Peter and John in his name. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping, stood up and walked. Now what? And entered into the temple. Yes, that was the result, wasn't it? He entered into the temple. Dear friends, if you've known the spiritual strengthening of your ankle bones, that you've desired to walk and been enabled to walk in things divine in the house of God, what a mercy it is, strengthened in faith to walk in the means of grace. Do I speak to anyone here this morning who knows what they should do, but they've been putting it off for a long time? They know that they should be obedient to the Lord. Jesus says to each believer, be baptized in my name. He himself in Jordan's river was immersed beneath the stream. Yes, clearly we have those things at Pentecost which showed the right way. 3,000. And as many as received him were gladly baptized. There was that walking, that following on. Now he walked with them into the temple. He didn't want to be left outside now. He'd been sitting outside of the beautiful gate of the temple, we believe. At least it would have probably been the gate of the temple which went into the holy place where, not the holiest of all, but from the general congregation of the assembly of the general congregation into the place where only the Jews were allowed to enter. And so he had been sitting and laying outside of the gate where only the Gentiles were allowed to go, though we believe he was of Jewish descent. So then he enters with them into the temple. Dear friends, if your soul's been blessed with a little of the knowledge of Christ, which is more precious than gold, you all want to enter into the temple. You're here this morning. I take courage in that. Oh, dear friends, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. There's much blessing. There's much instruction. There's much comfort and strength to be gained in the worship of God. Yes, I verily believe that to be true, and I believe I can humbly say I've proved it. Yes, he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And he, leaping and praising God, now entered into the temple. Now we come to another point. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now here he was able to give witness to all the people of what had been done for him in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I come back to that again. Have you? Have you witnessed for what the Lord has done for you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth? It's the only way that you'll know anything of this blessing. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat four arms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together. He didn't want to be separated from him. You can picture this scene, can you not? There is a man, as I said, unable to walk. He's just received the gift of strength into his ankle bones. He can walk now and leap. And you can just see he puts his arm round Peter and John. He doesn't want to be separated from them, because he's never in all these 40 years experienced such a blessing to him. It's been something which he, beyond, as we could say today, his wildest dreams, that he would ever be healed, having been 40 years laid at the gate of the temple to gain his living. And now he's strengthened, he can walk, he can enter into the temple, he can praise God, and he can go forth as any other and earn an honourable living in the future. And so he is so impressed with these men that he wants to put his arms round them, not to worship them, but in gratitude and thanksgiving. And friends, do you know, I do, I know this, that I had a great affection for the one who was used by God in my call by grace. You look back to that one who was used in your call by grace, some of you, and remember the words, the prayers, the loving care which was bestowed upon you, and you had a love for that one. That one might be in glory now. But my dear friends, you look back and the memory of the just is blessed when you do remember, and you think back and you thank the Lord for the privileges which were yours in your youth, that you knew and you had the teaching of the work of God through this one and that one. Yes, but you see, now there's something I must not stop before I come to, and that is this. This is a very important point. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk?" You see, he says it's not of us. It's not of us. Why are you amazed? He then goes on, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers." You see, the Jews, they knew the God of their fathers. They were well versed in the Old Testament and in the ceremonial law, which had come to an end at this time, of course, because Christ himself was the end of the law for righteousness. Christ himself was the utter fulfillment of the ceremonial law, and he completely obeyed the moral law to absolute perfection, to the satisfaction of a holy, holy, holy God. And so here Peter says, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus," and then he says again, "whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go, but ye denied the Holy One and the Just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." Now, listen to this verse. "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong." That is how. Through faith in this name, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this man has been made strong. His ankle bones have been strengthened. You've witnessed that miracle, and it's in the name of Jesus, not in our name. We're only servants of God, he says to them in effect. But it's the name of Jesus in which the power is, and by his Spirit given at Pentecost. Dear friends, how do these things affect your soul? Do you feel a desire that you might know something of the blessed comfort, consolation, and teaching of the Holy Blessed Spirit of Truth. We have a privilege, as I say, in these latter days, in the Gospel day, of not being without a comforter. And you know, friends, I must say that I fear we forget that sometimes. We're so overtaken, and I know what it is to know what pressures and problems are. You get up in the morning and you go flat out all day, and there's these things to do and those things to do, and you get to the end of the day and you think, I've had hardly thought a word on better things, sometimes to our shame, especially when you're in the midst of business life. And yet, there's something secret which brings your soul to look up, isn't it, before you rest at night. There's something in the midst of all these things. But because of these things, we don't enjoy the sweetness of the Spirit that otherwise is enjoyed if we're enabled to meditate and to read the Word of God a little more than perhaps we do. You know, it's a little bit like someone suffering from something and having a nice, well, or a nasty bottle of medicine standing by. It's a cure. And they are too busy to take the medicine and go on struggling on with the disease. Dear friends, there is comfort in the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the gift of God, the Instructor. He is the one that can instruct us in things divine. He is the teacher. You know, I had someone say to me, a deacon, early on, I hadn't been to preach at this particular place before, and he told me they were old-fashioned there. And I said, well, I said, I'm a bit old-fashioned too. So he said, oh? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, I said, I like to ask the Lord's blessing on the word we read, that it may not remain a dead letter to us. I said, the same as the old Puritans used to do. And I said, will that be all right when I come? Oh, yes, he said. There's no problem there. But you see, I say that for this reason, that if we just pick up the Bible and read it with little thought, which I fear we all do at times with the pressures of life, we cannot expect to find the sweetness that we would otherwise find if we prayerfully approach the Word of God, seeking the light of the Holy Spirit upon the written page and the opening of the eyes of our understanding and the anointing of the eyes of our faith as we do so. How needful these are, these things. They're not things which we can propagate of our own nature. They're the gift of the Holy Spirit, dear friends. And likewise, the grace of meditation. I find sometimes I sit down and I think I've got to preach. On a certain occasion, perhaps a week evening service, I must sit down tonight and think a little about it, and I want to meditate, and I really truly do want to meditate, and I sit down with the Bible and I find my mind on something completely different, and I've been thinking about it for some time before I suddenly realise you can't meditate on your own, dear friends. You have to seek for the grace of meditation, and you have to pray for a spirit of prayer that we might come rightly for the indicting of the Holy Spirit, a comforter, the instructor, the one who gives the consolation and confirmation. If ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? Who to? Them that ask him. Do we ask? Or may we be given that constant desire to continue in prayer. Those disciples, when they returned, having witnessed the ascension of the dear Lord Jesus Christ, as he lifted up his hands, as I said earlier, and blessed them, they returned with joy, we read, and they were together in union, in prayer and supplication with one accord. That one accord was in prayer, praise, seeking the Lord. May we be given the grace so to do, and may we receive the blessing of the sweetness of the comfort and consolation and confirmation of the Holy Spirit within our souls. Amen.